Good evening. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, March 24th, 2021. And this is Left of Diaspora Forum. I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Kip Stube.
Would like to inform our listeners that because of the coronavirus pandemic, we are not able to give you our usual show, and we will not be able to call in since we are broadcasting from our homes.
This evening, we are discussing COVID-19, the vaccination program, and other issues.
And today, President Emmerson Mnangagwa launched phase two of the COVID-19 vaccination program, and he also got his first dose together with other political party leaders who were in attendance in Victoria Falls.
We are also looking at concerns raised by the United States State Department and Senate Foreign Relations Committee over the recalling of MDC Alliance members of parliament. They are accusing the ZANU-PF government of, quote, yet another example of the systematic dismantling of the elected political opposition and subversion of the will of the Zimbabwean people, end quote.
End of COVID-19 update. Is it March 23, 2021, which is yesterday? Zimbabwe had 36,717 confirmed COVID-19 cases, including 34,447 recoveries and 1,516 deaths. This follows the recording of 33 new cases and 2 deaths. And also to date, 44,135 people have been vaccinated.
So it's time to talk now. We've got our guests already lined up. We've got Dr. Frank Goni, who is here in USA, and Mr. Tawanda Tsokora of the MDC Alliance, and Musani Musontini, who is an independent political commentator based in Washington, D.C. So, in fact, he's in New York. So, Jonga, there we are. We've got our guests.
This is all Gibbs. So, Tangana Kutarisa Kuti, Nasi Tiru Kurukura Nezei, Nasi Tiru Kutarisa, Nyaya, Mbiri, Tine Nyaya, Ye Kuparu, Wako Ekwa Churu, Mba Chekubaywa Kwe Nomba, Yawara Kuti Phase 2, Kana Chikamu Chechipiri, Raitika Ku Victoria Falls, Uko Mtunga Miri Wenyika Vaya Masina Mnangagwa, Wachiparura Churu Mba Ichocho, Hamsoro Pezo, Wachibaywao, Nomba Yawa Yekutanga, Yekuzivira COVID-19. Totariswa zvakare nyaya yakasumudzwa nemusi wemuvhuro nebazi rezvekudyidzana nedzimwe nyika muAmerica pamwe chete nekomiti yedare reSenate inoona nezvekudyidzana nedzimwe nyika iri kupomera hurumende yeZANU-PF mhosva yekuparadza mapato anopikisa muZimbabwe kuburikidza nekudzingwa kuri kuitwa nhengo dzeparamende muparamende. Ndo nyaya dzatiri kuti tikurukure nhasi tisakanganwa kuti nyaya yeCOVID-19 yekuparurwa kwechirongwa chekubayiwa kwenhomba inyaya hombe muZimbabwe, nekuti takatarisa kubva pachatanga chirongwa ichocho vanhu vanodarika zvishoma zviuru makumi mana nezvina kana 44,000 ndo vega vabayiwa chirongwa, chichitarisira kuti phase 1 ingadai yabaya vanhu vanokwana kuita 100,000, nekuti takawana nhomba yaikwana kuita 200,000 yeSinopharm ichibva kuChina ichipinda muZimbabwe. Takaonawo zvakare imwe nhomba inosvika 600,000 ichipinda muZimbabwe. Svondo rapera zvichireva kuti inotarisirwa kunge zvakare ichibaya vanhu vanokwana kuita mazana matatu ezviuru kana kuti 300,000. Ndo nyaya dzatiinadzo Kips.
Yeye kunjalo ke uJonga uyayibeka namhlanje indaba yethu esingayo. Yena le vaccination the COVID-19 kuzokubuya ke lalokhu ke ukuxokozela okukhona kubandla eliphikisayo ele MDC Alliance. Siyabona ukuthi kulabantu asebesuka kulelo bandla besiyangena kuZANU-PF. Njalo lokunywa ilizwe leMelika elokuthi ke kukhanya ngani konke lokhu kwenziwa libandla elibusayo. Sikhangele ke iCOVID-19 kukhanya kulabantu ababili izolo ababuleyo umkhuhlane lo. Kwesu kusita bayi 33 bahlolwe batholakala bele COVID-19. Nxa sisikhangela ke kusukisela ngombimbitho onyaka enye sokulabantu 36,717 asebahlolwa batholakala bele COVID-19, wathi kunani leli 34,447 abantu asebaphepha ku-COVID-19, kuthi ke abayi 1,516 sebabulawa yi-COVID-19. Nxa sisikhangela ke ukujova kwabantu kusetshenziswa iSinopharm vaccine sokulabantu 44,135 asebehlatshwe iJackson yeSinopharm. Siyabona ukuthi wabuya ke i-200,000 doses iyathathwa kwele China khona ngale. So ithe sithethwe ke i-200,000 vaccine leyi khanya zani kulabanye abantu ababengafisi ukuthi bejovwe iJackson le, kodwa kube labanye abantu ababefisa ukuthi bahlatshwe iJackson ye-COVID-19. So kwaqaliswa ngabongi odokotela labanye kona manje sokuhlatshwa ke ababalisi labanye nje abantu abafisa ukuthi bahlatshwe Jackson Lab. Siboneke lamhlanje uMongameli Emmerson Mnangagwa ekhona ngale ke eVictoria Falls lapho ajovwe khona iJackson. Singazi ukuthi uhlatshwe yiphi iJackson kulabanye kade besithi Sinopharm farm kwesusiwa labanye ukuthi hayi enxa uhlatshwe enye njalo. Sizwa ke ngokuya kwesikhathi ukuthi ingabe ihlatshwe yiphi iJackson. So siyabona njalo kulabanye abantu abahlatshwe ijonga akade bengani balihlekanyana sibili kade behlatshwa leJackson kona ngale eVictoria Falls. Kulontshwa khonapho ke iphase 2 yeprogram leyi ye kunjalo kona manje ijonga.
Ndizvozvo Gibbs tine vanyarikani kana vadare vedu vatinawo muchirongwa. We have our guests lined up. Yeah, we have Dr. Frank Guni, who is based here in Washington, D.C. Welcome to our show, Dr. Guni.
Thank you very much. Good evening, listeners.
Yes, we also have Mr. Tawanda Dzokora. Vashoshe, variku dunure chizvi andibatsire apo.
North Dakota.
Ndinombozo dzokandoda kuti South Dakota asayo. Beta tezvara vataure vega. Variku North Dakota, vatawanda Dzokora. Ndo mutunga pisachigaro we MDC Alliance mudunhu reNorth America. MDC Alliance chairman North America. Tiri kunge tinawo zvakare muno muchirongwa. Tinokugamuchirai vadzokora.
Tinotenda makadi muri yeZimbabwe yakateerera.
Aiwa tiri wapenyu Gibbs.
Yes, we also have Mr. Busane Busontini, who is an independent commentator based in New York. Mr. Ntini, welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Dube. Hello, Mr. Chokora, and the other friends.
Dr. Frank Guni.
Dr. Frank Guni and...
Tonga Kandemiri, yes.
The gentleman in North Dakota.
Tawanda Dzokora, yes.
Tawanda Dzokora, yes.
So, gentlemen, let's start with this issue. Let's start about, just talk about this issue concerning COVID-19. We saw the president, being vaccinated today in Victoria Falls. This is the second phase of the program in Zimbabwe. We'll start with you, Dr. Frank Guni. So what's the meaning of all this?
I think it's the heralding of Zimbabwe's seriousness in matching up to world expectations and fulfilling the call by the World Health Organization to ensure that all countries acquire as much as possible vaccines and vaccinate as many people as possible so that we control and contain the global coronavirus pandemic. The president being in Victoria Falls is symbolic of his prioritization of areas that will lead in revamping our economy. Victoria Falls, as we all know, is a world resort, which is a tourist destination of record. And as we know, the program, the second phase in Victoria Falls, was not just launched to specified groups or the so-called frontline people. In Victoria Falls, it's open to the public as well. The target is to ensure that everyone in the area around Victoria Falls is inoculated. And once they are fully vaccinated, it means we'll have put the pandemic under control and the town will be able to open and welcome visitors to Victoria Falls. That means our citizens in that area won't be able to transmit the virus to our tourists or to our visitors and among themselves. And they will also be able to contain the pandemic locally, which means there won't be more local transmissions if we travel from outside is also contained. So I think it's a very important measure that the president has taken, especially that him being the head of state and government is showing people that the vaccines are not only safe, but he's willing to take one himself. Like we saw the Minister of Health, who happens to be the Vice President of the Republic of Zimbabwe, Comrade Chiwenga, also got inoculated. He actually got his second dose as well, whereas the president is just getting his first dose. So again, he is showing leadership in ensuring that Zimbabweans get to know that the vaccines are safe, they've been tried and tested, and everyone should line up when the opportunity comes for them to get vaccinated.
We also witnessed some political party leaders joining President Mnangagwa there in Victoria Falls. Of note, we saw President MDCT President Douglas Mwanzora and also Ms. Linda Masarira. They are both there. What do you make of those who joined and those who snapped the call for that launch?
I think the president, again, is showing leadership in saying the pandemic does not know political allegiances. It does not know political affiliations. We are all Zimbabweans, and the president made a call to say all members of political leadership, all members of POLAD or non-POLAD members who are leaders of political parties were invited to come and join His Excellency the President in Victoria Falls to demonstrate to the people of Zimbabwe that the leadership of the country, despite political divisions, despite political differences, can come together towards the national cause. And in this case, the national cause is to ensure that we keep the pandemic under control and the areas that we can come together as Zimbabweans in spite of our political differences. Yes, we saw Mr. Masarira getting inoculated. We know that Mr. Mwanzora was already inoculated. He got his first dose, so he couldn't get vaccinated again today. He still has to wait for the proper duration of time. But to other political leaders are there.
He got his second jab today at Wilkins before he flew to Victoria Falls.
Right. So let's hear from Mr. Taunda Sokora. So the MDC leader was not there. What's the challenge there?
I wouldn't comment on President Chamisa's unavailability in Victoria Falls. I don't even know whether he was invited or not. I'm not aware of that. But what I can say is, of course, that we all know why Linda and Mwanzora would jump at such an opportunity. If you look at the trend, Linda has become one of the biggest critics of President Chamisa and in particular MDC Alliance. And Mr. Mwanzora has also joined the fray of attacking President Chamisa. And I think it's only in Zimbabwe where you see opposition parties ganging up against one opposition party. We all know the trend of things, what has been going on, that Mwanzora and his political outfit cannot be called MDC. If we can give them a name, maybe we can call them ZANU-PFB or ZANU-PF Lite, because that's what is on the ground. That is what we are seeing. But on the issue of the vaccines themselves, that is a welcome development to all Zimbabweans. We were talking about vaccines before they came. We were actually pushing organizations outside Zimbabwe, pushing the government itself so that it avails vaccines to the people of Zimbabwe. Our biggest concern, though, has been the lack of information to the people of Zimbabwe. Everyone you talk to in the rural areas, even in urban areas, they have not been given information, enough information about the vaccine. Was the vaccine tested? Is the vaccine genuine? We have heard a lot of reports that are coming from China that this vaccine did not go through the test that it is supposed to go through. That information is supposed to be made available to the people of Zimbabwe so that they can make informed choices. It's our right. It's the right of every Zimbabwean to get such basic information. We have a lot of people that are critical of the vaccine or that are afraid to take a vaccine. And it's not a crime. It's not a criminal offense to be afraid of taking a vaccine because they have not been given enough information. But we heard that the president, Mr. Mnangagwa, saying that it will come a time when people will not be allowed to do certain things or to board a bus or anything if they don't have a vaccine. That's not the way it is supposed to be done. You cannot force people to take a vaccine. It shouldn't be forced. It should be a choice. But that choice can only come when people have been given enough information. And then we are also concerned about the slow movement and the delays that we are seeing, the vaccines are available. The vaccines are there. But why is it that less than 50,000 people are the ones that have been vaccinated up to the date? Then the government is way off its targets. It's okay to miss your target by 2,000, by 5,000, by 10,000. But to miss your target by 70% of your projected target, that shows a lot of inefficiencies there. And then lastly, we see a government that is lethargic when it comes to important issues that concerns the Zimbabwean people. We know how this COVID-19 came about. We had known about it for 3-4 months, and our government did not do anything, and it ended up killing a lot of Zimbabweans, And now we know that there may be a possibility of another wave, a third wave, but we are seeing the government moving slowly in giving out this vaccine. Thank you. Nekuti vachasvikirwa zvakare vasina kugadzirira tozoona vana veZimbabwe vachifa vakawanda.
Thank you very much. We also have Mr. Musani Mbuso Ntini. So Babu Ntini, ngena kunapo ke utsho wena kuti ubona njani uhlatshwa kwabantu iJackson yeSinopharm?
No, I think ukuhlatshwa kwabantu into enhle. Ngoba vele kuyazakala ukuthi iCOVID-19, the only way is a hamba ngayo ukuthi abantu behlatshwe ama injection, bethiwa ama vaccine. Kodwa njengoba uJokora echilo ukuthi I think okulekhayo kakhulu information, the awareness, lama promotion nje, i-education yakhona kungathaka ilunganga. Abantu abatshelwa into eyiyo. Siyazi ukuthi kuthe kufika iSinopharm earlier on kwathiwa khona hayi siyathestwa eChina i-clinical third phase siphelile, but kwakhanya ukuthi no, i-phase yesithathu ibingakayenzakali. So i-vaccine yabuya eZimbabwe yafika laphana i-third phase e-clinical ingakayenzakali. Then kwasokutshintshwa ukuthi hayi iZimbabwe is part of i-trial for that third phase. So into ezinjalo I think ziyakhonfuse abantu. Njalo akula muntu ositshelayo ungakhali iSinopharm wayo. There are two types of Sinopharms. Ikhona eyayivele isithestiwe China, siyabhasa wonke ama-phase. Then kwakula le esibili eyayingikhona isathestwa i-phase 3. Then ikhathesi sokula le enye ekhona iSinovac. Layo le yayivele ikhona kudala, yayivele isenziwa ngama-testing. So when you look at all this information, I think there is a lack of awareness, lack of the openness by those that are leading us to educate abantu. And the other issue, I think sometimes things like vaccines, we should not see a government or a particular party leading the awareness. I think there should be people that are involved outside of the government. Churches need to be involved, and many other civic organizations should be brought in to help with the awareness, the promotion, and educating people. Because once we see the face of the leadership being from one party, some people may hesitate. They may pull back and not be upfront in actually asserting and taking the vaccine. But I think at the end of the day, Jokora got it. I think people, they need to be informed. People need to be taught about these vaccines. Tell the people the truth in terms of the vaccine. Did we have, here in the US, we have an FDA that actually does approve these vaccines. We saw that the AstraZeneca recently was shipped out of the US and sold to other countries because the FDA had not approved it. In Zimbabwe, we never had any organization coming out saying we received 200,000 Sinopharm vaccines from China. We have done these tests and we have approved it for deployment to the people. But as soon as they arrived, people were being jabbed. So I think there is a disconnect there, the way we do things. And also when you look at the pipeline, we don't see a roadmap. Yes, we have procured, we got 200K donations, another 200K donation. We also bought some. But when you look at the numbers that we have accumulated so far, or numbers that are in the pipeline, they are not enough to vaccinate enough people to gain herd immunity. So I think we need to have a roadmap. The government should be communicating more on the roadmap. Tell us how many more vaccines are coming and when should I expect to get the vaccine. Right now, I think we're just reacting to what we have. If the donations arrive, we'll jab people. But we don't have a good plan in terms of we have this many millions of people. We are procuring this many vaccines, and these are the time dates we expect to receive the vaccines. Right now, I think we are at the mercy of other countries like China or Russia, or we are just waiting for leftovers from other countries, in my view.
Thank you very much. I see that Dr. Frank Kun is shaking his head.
Yes, I wanted to say that the government, I think the government is doing a lot of awareness campaigns and other organizations, but I think people also tend to choose who to listen to, because we've had some church organizations or some church leaders discouraging their members not to take the vaccine, and also some political parties talking against the vaccine. So that will leave people with a choice of who to listen to, either the government or their political party leaders or leaders of churches or all that. That's what I wanted to add. But I think Dr. Guni, as a ZANU-PF member, you can also tell us your side there.
Okay, thank you. Let me touch on a number of issues. I think we have a number of misconceptions and misstatements from both my colleague panelists there. First, let me start by saying, let's not just criticize for the sake of criticizing. The coronavirus is a global pandemic. Every country in the world is scrambling to buy whatever available vaccine there is out there in the world. Now, coming to misinformation and misstatements, let me be very clear. Sinopharm vaccine is a registered vaccine that has undergone three phases of clinical trials. And right now it's being administered, or it has been ordered by more than 50 countries in the world. The same applies to Sinovac. These are Chinese vaccines that are in Zimbabwe. We also know that the government of Zimbabwe has received a donation from Russia, the Sputnik V. Russia has three vaccines, but only one has so far been donated to Zimbabwe. I think it's about 20,000. So there's no question that the current vaccines in Zimbabwe have been tested, they've been proven effective, and their efficacy is scientifically proven. They are also registered by the World Health Organization. They've been used in China itself and again in 50 other countries. So let's clear that one out up front. Now, when it comes to the misinformation about whether it was whether the Sinopharm vaccine was going to be used as an experiment in Zimbabwe, I think people misquoted the good doctor who spoke while receiving the first batch from China. What he meant was, when Sinopharm vaccine was tested up to the third phase in clinical trials, we didn't have the South African variant of COVID-19 or SARS-2 virus. So what he meant was the vaccine, even though it's registered and it's been tested, it was not tested against the South African variant. And that's true of all the other vaccines, whether it's Pfizer, whether it's Moderna. So it's not exclusive to Sinopharm. Let's make that very clear. I would admit that we could do more to inform the people of Zimbabwe. However, scientific data and those who really want to get information is available. The government of Zimbabwe is using public forums and the media to announce not only the arrival, but the information available about these vaccines. The third thing I wanted to point out from Ms. Tintin in New York there is no drug that can be administered in Zimbabwe without going through proper registration and testing. before any drug can be introduced in Zimbabwe, samples are sent to the MCIZ, the Medicines Control Authority of Zimbabwe, which in this case tested both the Sinovac and the Sinopharm and found out that the claim by the manufacturer gave the exact result that were tested in Zimbabwe. Every country does that. So the Medicines Control Authority of Zimbabwe has never had a tendency to publicly tell everyone or to publicly announce the whole world that we have tested this drug and it's safe and so forth. They do the proper government or required filing to ensure that anyone who is in the public health sector who wants to know whether this drug has been approved or tested for use in Zimbabwe has access to that information. So again, that's misconception and misinformation there, which needed the clarification. Going back to community education, I agree that the government could do more. Probably we could use more platforms like our village community health workers. They might need more training to ensure that they are passing on the right and up-to-date scientific information about these vaccines as we get more and they get distributed widely around the country. But overall, Zimbabwe is doing very well. Again, when it comes to targets, Mr. Dokora got it wrong. When we say we received the first batch was 200,000. 200,000 doses actually means you can only vaccinate 100,000 people because this patient requires two doses. The government never said we're going to use all these 200,000 doses in 20 days or in 30 days. There were categories of people. The first batch was frontline health workers, and the majority of those are still getting their vaccines. The second base was the security sector. You have our soldiers, the people who man our prisons, the people who man our borders and so forth. And now we are including teachers and other essential workers. So as more and more of these groups come into line, you will see more and more people getting vaccinated. And it's the same thing right here in the United States. It's the same thing all over the world. You don't get to vaccinate everyone at the same time. Yes, you saw even here in the United States when vaccination started under Donald Trump, it was very slow because of logistical challenges. But now it has picked up, and I'm sure it will pick up in Zimbabwe as well. So let's not just criticize for purposes of political expediency. But when something good happens to our country, we should commend our leadership regardless of our political differences, and acknowledge that Zimbabwe is way far ahead many of African countries, that some of them haven't even ordered their first batch of vaccines to speak of.
Thank you very much. Maybe let's go to Mr. Tawanda Zokora. Chonga?
Yes, Zokora, ndofunga mazwa za taurwa na waguni, pamwechete na waantini.
Yeah, so let's have Mr. Ntini responding to what Mr. Kuni is saying. Go ahead, Mr. Tini.
Mr. Kuni, I want to make one thing clear. I think when sometimes we bring out certain facts, that doesn't mean that we don't appreciate what the government is doing or we are just opposing. Sometimes I think when we have a dialogue like this one, people come up with certain facts. Yes, sometimes some of those facts can be disputed. But I think at the end of the day, from the word go, I think there was a false start. There wasn't enough information. And also, depending on who you were talking to, different things were confirmed. From what I know for sure, China has two types of Sinopharm vaccines. At the time that we received the 200K, the one that we had received was still going through the third phase of the clinical trials.
Mm.
I think even as of now, you know, even the WHO hasn't actually approved the one that we got in Zimbabwe. But yes, it is being used by certain countries, which is fine. But the one that we are talking about here is a different type of Sinopharm. There were two types. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, like someone said, the best vaccine when it comes to coronavirus is the one that is in your arm. So whatever vaccine that is out there, whether it has gone through second phase, third phase, as long as we can reach the people, I think, you know, people have a chance of surviving. All that we are asking is upfront information from our government so that when our relatives are going there to get these vaccines, they are told the truth. So I think we need information before the jabbing. But at the end of the day, personally, I appreciate what the government is doing. I have no qualms about what is happening. I appreciate that. All I'm saying, can we have more awareness? Like right now, you just brought in a new thing that I don't think anyone had known, that in Zimbabwe, there was an organization that actually received the Sinopharm before the 200K to test and approve it. That hasn't come up. I think it is the first time that it has come up.
So let me...
Can I just say one little statement here?
Yes, go ahead. Just a few seconds.
So to be clear, the vaccine that is in Zimbabwe from Sinopharm is Sinopharm BIB1. It's exactly the vaccine that has been registered by the WHO. It's the same vaccine that is being used in China right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I work on different scientific panels on a global scale that looks at these vaccines very closely. And if Zimbabwe was getting the wrong vaccine, trust me, I'll be the first person to point out that what you are getting is not what's supposed to be going to our people.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. So now let's get into politics, Tonga. So we have seen that there's a lot that is going on. The United States State Department is saying that ZANU-PF is just trying to dismantle the opposition by, you know, recalling MTC alliance members. And the same has been said by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. So it seems as if the U.S. is not happy about what is happening in Zimbabwe right now when I look at politics. We've seen some defections that are going on. And out of these defections, there is a guy who was the vice president of the MTCT, Mr. Obed Kutu, who has actually joined ZANU-PF. I think we've got a video of him saying something here about what is happening in the MTC alliance. Let's listen to what he's saying right now.
That house on fire. It was an accident waiting to happen. Now the accident is happening. It's a crumbling edifice. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I left that party, because I saw that it is heading nowhere. It is a race to the bottom. So things haven't even started. Just wait and see in the next few weeks and months.
What is going to happen?
It's a total cataclysm. It's just crumbling, literally crumbling.
Is it not being decimated by ZANU-PF?
No. I mean, the problem is, I think everyone, if somebody beats up their wife because they are drunk and they abuse their spouses, they will blame ZANU-PF. If someone gets their salary at work and they drink so much booze that they end up even using money for groceries and they can't pay fees for their children and buy food for their families, they will say it's ZANU-PF. Yeah? If somebody is so lazy that he or she can't wake up in time to go to work, they will say it's ZANU-PF. I mean, quite honestly, guys, to be more serious. Are you saying ZANU-PF is that powerful that they will influence people to defect? Are you saying that ZANU-PF is so powerful that they will influence the MDC people to split? Then Kanashagadara, then ZANU-PF, then it's like God. It's so powerful. And I actually think that it's a lame excuse. It's people who are in denial. People who can't even manage themselves. They're having, the amount of factionalism in the MDC, in the various factions of the MDC, the amount of factionalism, the amount of intolerance, the amount of hate, Kuvengana Chaiko, hate, it's shocking. I mean, I've never come across that. That's one of the reasons why I left. You could touch the hate. You could touch, it was so palpable. The ill feeling, the lack of empathy. I just said, oh my God, what am I doing here?
Now, it seems as if there are some people who are also saying a lot of things, Mr. Kutu. You know, there's one who's saying, was Mr. Kutu ever a ZANU-PF supporter since independence? If so, he has rejoined his party and he never left it in the first place. He was actually working with ZANU when he was in the MTC. What's your reaction to that?
Look, like I said, Gibbs, do you honestly want me to dignify BS?
So, but were you in ZANU-PF before you joined MTC?
Like any other raw youth, in the late 1970s, I was in my teens, early teens. I grew up in the rural area in Gutu. We would go, you know, with those pungwes when the guerrillas were having the pungwes. We would go there. We would go for the pungwes. So that was my contribution to the struggle. Sometimes we'll be my parents ran a retail shop somewhere in Gutu there. So we'd actually carry provisions, like buy like those military boots and clothes for the guerrillas, and we'll take them during the pungwes and deliver the clothes and the boots to the comrades. So if that made me a member of ZANU-PF, so be it, maybe. But I believe that anyone who was a youth, a young person, a young woman, young girl, I was barely 14 then, barely 14. We would do that. And I believe I'm not the only person who did that. I mean, people of my generation and older, we all did that. So if that made me a ZANU-PF supporter, so be it.
So when did you decide to leave ZANU-PF and join MTC then, if that's the case?
Look, I'm talking of things that happened when I was a teenager. I'm talking of things that stuff that happened when I was barely 14 years old. And that is before independence. So, Gibbs, I don't know what you are talking about now. What is your question now?
No, the question was, did you ever have a ZANU-PF card before you joined
the
MTC?
Yes, I had. In 1982, when I was at university, I think there was a ZANU-PF district there. And yes, I bought a ZANU-PF card. Not only me, I think a lot of people of my generation. But those were the only parties that was there. There was ZANU-PF and there was ZAPU in the early 80s. That was 2 years into independence. And yes, I was a card carrying member of ZANU-PF when I was at university. Yeah, I think the first 2-3 years. Then, look, I then was never active. And I think I just bought the card. I don't remember attending any meetings, but I just bought the card.
No, the reason why I'm asking that is because some people are saying, well, he was a ZANU-PF guy, he's still in he was in the opposition, but still a card-carrying member of ZANU-PF. That's the question. Now he has rejoined his party. That's what people are saying, Mr. Kuti.
I mean, this is people, like I said, Gibbs, who don't know me. I'm being honest with you, brutally honest and brutally frank. I've told you of the ZANU-PF card that I bought in 1982. There are so many of us of my generation who bought. Even people who are in MDC of my generation, they bought, those were the two main parties there on campus. There was ZAPU and there was ZANU-PF. So, quite honestly, there was no opposition party. 1982, I can't remember of any. I think Ian Smith was still in parliament. I don't know what his party was, now known as the Conservative Party or whatever. That's long back.
So, there you are, Joga. Mr. Kutu is saying a lot of things. So, he's saying the MDC alliance is an accident in waiting. And he says things are going to be worse as time goes, So I think our guests may weigh in on this issue. So let's try it down at Sokora.
Yes. But before we go to our guests, I think Mr. Gutu, he quit politics almost a year ago, if not slightly over a year ago. So he did not belong to any political party when he went to join ZANU-PF. That's what I still remember when I did an interview with him then, and also when he joined ZANU-PF. Maybe you can bring in Mr. Jokora.
Yeah, so let's try to bring me in, Mr. Jokora, and hear what he's going to say about this issue. Just hold on 1 second. Mr. Jokora, can you hear me? I think he's got a challenge with his line, so I'll get hold of him somehow, Chonga.
Okay.
So, Mr. Kuni, what's the meaning of all this? Just briefly, before we get hold of Mr. Zokora.
Well, for silence, let me say I didn't hear anything.
All what you are saying is, the MTC alliance is an accident in waiting. So he says there's a lot that is going on, in terms of internal struggles in the MTC alliance. So he says everything is almost crumbling. And then the MTCT is saying Mr. Kutu never wrote a letter to say he has left the MTCT. So at the end of the day, they are saying he's still their member. And so he has just decided to disappear and tell people that he left that party a year ago. So all these kind of things, political machinations, what do you think about it?
Well, what I can say is that the ruling party, there's no qualms with the opposition parties disintegrating and fighting amongst themselves or facing lots of defections. that's their business. And it's not only Mr. Gutu who has crossed the floor to come to ZANU-PF, whether he was still MDCT or not, we don't really mind, because he came to ZANU-PF and asked for permission to be readmitted, and he was admitted into the party, as we saw with the Blessing Chebundo and others. And I think if I am to be an objective observer, I can say I think what we are seeing in the MDC alliance is an issue of a generational gap. We are seeing that the current leadership of the MDC alliance, led by Nelson Chamisa, doesn't seem to have a proper structure and proper direction in terms of leading the party. I think the people in that party are frustrated because they don't know where they are being led to. If you look at ZANU-PF, for example, ZANU-PF has clear policies that it enunciates every day at any given opportunity. If you ask the MDC alliance what are their policies, you don't hear anything other than, yeah, takabirirwa. We want the reforms. If asking them, what reforms are you talking about? They can't give you even two items that they want the reforms. And nonetheless, they had a huge number of people in parliament. Not even a single MDC Alliance member of parliament raised a single word about the reforms. None of them drafted anything about any reform in parliament. And yet they go on television, they go on social media, and say ZANU-PF must reform, the government must reform. I don't know what they want to reform, because they are not bringing it through the proper channels. So as long as there is frustration and unclear leadership in the MDC alliance, you continue to see more and more people leaving, going to where they can see direction, where they can see leadership that is actually leading the way and preparing. Right now, ZANU-PF is already preparing for 2023. And we are already preparing for the upcoming by-elections as soon as the country is open for those. And people can see that. And people can also see development that is happening. People can see change. People can see that the state and the ruling party are doing tangible things that are benefiting them. All you hear from Chamisa and his crew is complain and offering no solution. And I think people are tired of that. And let me comment and say, I think when the Honorable Senator, who is the chairman here of the Foreign Relations Committee, spoke about ZANU-PF wanting to decimate the MDC or the opposition, I think he was thoroughly misinformed. ZANU-PF has nothing to do with the people defecting from MDC alliance. The people are fed up. They are saying it themselves. And I don't know why the senator chose to blame ZANU-PF or to blame the government, when these people are actually saying why they left. Gutu wrote a very long opinion letter saying why he left. We also heard from Chebundo, we saw Tim Bills. We are seeing a lot of people. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had 450 people in Harare leaving MDC Alliance coming to ZANU-PF. And all of them are citing the simple thing that they are frustrated. They don't know whether Chamisa is leading them or he's not, or whether he is leading them to. So again, I think the Honorable Senator here need to be more informed and probably check with the U.S. Embassy staff that are in Harare, because they would tell him that you know, there is frustration in the opposition and ZANU-PF is not going into MDC and trying to decimate it. For what it matters, I think ZANU-PF thrives and does well when there's an active and vibrant opposition.
Yeah, so, Jonga?
Yes, and this is what Jokora was about.
Yeah, I'm still trying to raise him. I think his line is giving us a problem. So,
regarding what you are, Guni, Taure, Nerimirwe, Shona, Nobuti, Takanswa, Nemufuro, Guni, Bazirish, which is an Zumanika, America, Panguchetene, Senate, Inuan, which is an Zumanika. Ichiti iri kushushikana zvikuru nekudzingwa kuri kuitwa nhengo dzebato rinopikisa muparamende zvichitevera kudzingwa kwava Tendai Biti nevamwe vavakadzingwa nawo. Vari kutiwo zvinoratidza kuti ZANU-PF ine urongwa hwakarongeka hwekuparadza opposition kana kuti vanopikisa muZimbabwe. Zvii zvamungataura pamusoro pechiitiko ichi?
Aiwa, isusu toda kuti seneta havana kunyatsokuwana umboo hwakakwana. Zvavari kutaura hazvina hungwaru nekuti tikatarisa somuenzaniso kudzingwa kwakaita vana vabiti vakadzingwa neboka ravo rePDP munova ndivo mavakabva vachipinda mualliance yemapato 7 akabatanidzwa saka hazvinei nezanupf tikutarisa zvekare vamwe vakadzingwa neMDCT ana vamonzora vachidzinga vamwe vanga vari muparamendi vanga varambira kuna vachamisa vane bato risinganyatsi kuzikanwa kuti rakamira papi zvese izvozvo hazvinei nezanupf toda kuti senata vazive kuti zviri kuitika muZimbabwe vanhu vari muZimbabwe vekuMDC Alliance umu vari kushushikana nekusaziva kuti vari kutungamirwa vachienda kupi nekuti zvakare bato ravo ravanga vari iri reMDC Alliance harina gwara ravari kuratidza vanhu kuti chafamba neapa tichizosvika uku aya atingati mapolicies and priorities mukatarisa mamwe mapato semuenzaniso bato rezanupf rinokutaurirai kuti kwatiri kuenda tiri kugadzirira vision 2030 rinokutaurirai kuti takanangana toda kuti tive nevanhu 5 million panosvika sarudzo yemusuwa yemuna 2023 zvatiri kuita ndezvakati zanupf yakamiririra zvido zvevanhu yakamiririra zvakati mukanyatsokuzviona zvakanyorwa pasi zvinoverengwa uye zano inogara ichizvitaura asi mukatarisa kuMDC kwavachamisa uku chatinoona basa ravo nderekungochema ndakabirirwa gore rakati tichapinda mumastriti ini ndichazoita purezidendi ndini purezidendi handizivi kuti vanenge vachida kuti vaite purezidendi wepawhatsapp here kana pafacebook nekuti vanhu ndo zvavari kubvira izvo tikatarisa mukaona vanhu vakabva kubato ravachamisa somuenzaniso mukaona mytimvels mukaona vachibundo mukaona vamwe 450 vakabva iko zvino kuHarare uko tine vamwe zvakare vakabva kubhuruwayoko vese vari kutaura kuti havasi kuziva kuti vari kutungamirwa vakananga kupi uye vari kuona sekuti vachamisa vakabata chipato chavo ichiita chibriefcase party chavanobata ivo voga neshamwari dzavo zvokuti vamwe vanhu vari kushaya kuti vari kubatei mubatiro nekuti havasi kuziva kuti chii chiri kuitika mubato ravo zanupf isusu bato rezanupf tine gwara tinogaroudza vanhu vedu kwatiri kuenda uye vanenge vachiparticipata muprocess iyoyo
Yeah, thank you very much. We are trying to get hold of Tawanda Sokora and other MTC Alliance activists, but it seems as if the Alliance are not going through right now. So I see that even...
Maybe they are busy looking for applications to join ZANU-PF.
We've got...
What about Mr. Ntini?
Mr. Ntini has dropped out. So we've got Mr. Skumbuzo Mlalazi, who is based in UK. He's an independent... political commentator. Mr. Mlalazi, how are you, sir? Siyaphila kakhulu. So, okay, siyabona konke lokhu kuyenzakala ukuthi abantu bemele bekhuluma abakhulumayo, labebandla leZANU-PF bakhulume abakufisayo. Kodwa ke nxa wena ukhangela njengomuntu ozimele yedwa, ubona ngani kuyini okwenzakala eZimbabwe khona manje? Usondelefonini yakho.
Yebo, baba Dube. Into enkulu kumele amadoda la akhuluma ananzelele ukuthi le nto i-affecta abantwana beZimbabwe. Mina ngibona ngani all these gentlemen abakusa ama-parties ona lawo mabili, they were born in Harare. And Harare is in Zimbabwe. I think even if there is any rift between the two parties, I think the only solution to this, I will call it a mess, happening in our politics. What you are seeing today, I think the only solution to this is going to be negotiations. I think it is important to realize that we only got Zimbabwe. I've seen in Kenya leaders coming together, Uhuru and Raila Odinga, joining hands to say we fought enough. Mm-hmm. So it's all emptiness, people coming from this part to this part. That's not a problem. I listened to a brother, Gutu, his name is Gutu, I believe. He was saying, he said valuable information to say in the early 80s, he was in the structures of ZANU-PF while he was at UZF University. He later became a high official in the ranks of the MDC. I think just a that alone, when you come, it then goes back to ZANU-PF. It cannot be then be called a witch. I believe the decisions come from an individual. Myself, I think it is about time now for the political leaders to go back to the people, but we are levantini and get ideas from people because they run out of ideas. Now there's no ideas. But I still believe, Uti, Zimbabwe's got a government. The government has to take a role and take care of its people. My problems now with this COVID-19. We should have more ideas coming to the government, channel to people and telling people of COVID-19 than concentrating on people leaving their parties to join the party which is already ruling. So I think MDC, Ababu Chamisa, I would say this must come now to the drawing board. I'm losing track now. I can't follow what they are saying and what they are doing. I don't know. Maybe they might explain to the world what's up. And then again, what I'm going to criticize, America coming to Zimbabwe and telling them Zimbabweans they are not doing anything good political-wise. I think America is the worst person to be a mediator in this case. So I would say our country, Zimbabwe, can we have leaders that will unite people of Zimbabwe and move the country forward? It's enough of these squabbles, I believe.
Yes, Tunga.
Yes, I think Mr. Guni, Dr. Guni, you need to respond to that.
Yes, I need to acknowledge, is it Skumbuzle?
Skumbuzo.
Skumbuzo. Yeah, Skumbuzo. I think he brought up a very important point that Zimbabweans need to unite for the sake of progress and for our nation to move forward. The President of the Republic and the President of ZANU-PF, Comrade A.D. Mnangagwa, a long time ago called for all political parties to come together under one umbrella called POLAS. And most political parties, we have 23 political parties participating, but we have the likes of Chamisa, but you can see where it's going. In Shona, they say Zanondega akasiya jira masese. You can see that he's leading his party and his people nowhere. And they can see that clearly now, that he has no ideas. He's leading them into the forest, and he doesn't even know that he's in the forest himself. That's why people are leaving his party and coming to ZANU-PF or to other political parties, where they believe there could be hope. And the people of Zimbabwe are tired of political squabbles. They want to see development. They want to see a united leadership. They want to see a united country. They want to see their government and their political or any other leadership coming together to ensure that they are safe, they have food, they have education, they have good healthcare services, and there is development in the country. This is what the people of Zimbabwe want, and not political squabbling and trying to show political brinkmanship by saying, if I am not there, nothing is going to happen. Well, if you are not there, you are left out, my friend. And this is exactly what we are seeing. So I wanted to commend my dear brother there for saying it's high time Zimbabweans come together. But let me hasten to say there is already a platform. As we saw today, you saw a political leadership of opposition parties joining President Mnangagwa in Victoria Falls on a national cause to ensure that we highlight the importance of vaccinating our people to prevent them from getting more and more infections and from dying from COVID-19. That's a national cause, and it's a rare opportunity for us to come together as Zimbabweans and say there are issues that are of importance to our country, and let's utilize those. In fact, I believe there is much more that unites us as Zimbabweans than that which divides us. But we are failing to see that there are some people who are so pompous and so selfish that they would rather have the whole country burn in order to, you know, to bring self-pride to themselves and yes, show their self-important.
Yes, thank you so much. So now I think we've got Mr. Tawanda Sokora on the line. Mr. Sokora, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So now there's this issue concerning the U.S. claiming that, you know, ZANU-PF is trying to dismantle the MTC alliance. Can you talk about that?
Yes, that's very true. I think Zimbabweans are aware of the ZANU-PF strategy, which started when COVID started. ZANU-PF took advantage of COVID-19. In fact, they weaponized COVID-19 to issue a court judgment that affected the MDC in a very bad way. The headquarters was taken away. That was the time when members of parliament were illegally removed from parliament. And we have seen political smears being leveled against our leadership. They started with Honorable Tendai Biti, whom they accused of stealing money when he was a minister. And those allegations were proved to be nothing, you know, but just a smear campaign. And we also saw the Harare mayor being arrested on frivolous allegations that the court has failed to substantiate. They're just going after MDC officials. And most recently, which is what caused the U.S. State Department spokesperson, Mr. Ned Price, to issue a statement when Honorable Tendai Biti, also Deputy President for the MDC and former Minister of Finance in Zimbabwe, when he was illegally removed from Parliament. We all know what the kind of work that Mr. Biti was doing in Parliament. He's Chairman of Public Accounts Committee, and he has been at the helm of exposing massive corruption that ZANU-PF officials, including the president, he has exposed all that corruption in that public account committee. He, right now, as we are speaking, he had exposed the corruption on ZESA, and he was about to table a $10.6 billion corrupt irregularities concerning that $10.6 billion. Which the government has failed to account for. He was also about to table the command agriculture issue, where we saw Kudata Gwirei getting almost everything, you know, all the tenders, all the business that had to do with command agriculture. And that command agriculture has costed the Zimbabwean taxpayers, the Zimbabwean people, almost $5.6 billion. That's a lot of money that can change, you know, the whole complexion of the Zimbabwean economy. There's also the issue of Zinara that Honorable Tendai Biti was about to table in Parliament. And some of these issues, like I said before, touch on the first family. And now we can see here that this is a government that is afraid of being exposed. When they saw that this was what Honorable Tendai Biti was doing and was about to do, They hedged a plan to remove him, and now he has been illegally removed from Parliament, just like what has happened to 39 other MDC members of Parliament and 81 councillors. Now look at the impact and effect of these illegal removals. 81 councillors are supposed to be working for the Zimbabwean people that voted for them. 39 members of Parliament are supposed to be serving the members, the people that voted for them. They are not providing those services to the people because the government has decided to illegally remove them. Fortunately, the international community is seeing through the eyes of the government, and that's why Ned Price ended up issuing that statement. And again, fortunately, the people of Zimbabwe, Cheranambuya Varukuma Reserva, Varukuchipinge, Varuku Mondoro,
Thank you, sir. Our time is really up, and I would have wished to see Mr. Kuni reacting to that, but we're out of time. Normally, there's no extra time here, so we are very sorry, gentlemen. So thanks to Dr. Frank Kuni of ZANU-PF, Mr. Taonda Tsukora, MTC Alliance, Mr. Musani Mbuso Ntini, and Mr. Skumbuzo Mlalazi. These are independent political commentators. Sending home from Maryland, this is Kip Stube saying, good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, also in Maryland.
Bye-bye.